Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Central Campus. And this past Sunday, we finished up our Too Good to Be True series, where we've been talking about this reality that even though some things feel too good to be true, they are true because Jesus keeps his promises. And we landed the series by talking about heaven. And in talking about Revelation 21, we get a couple of things we learn about heaven. Revelation, the word means to reveal. So we said that Revelation reveals, first of all, a description of heaven. Now, Christian view of heaven is different. Other religions, for example, they say if you die a martyr's death, or if you die as part of their religion, you get a planet with women to populate if you're a male. So we said that, you know, in some religions, heaven's like an eternal episode of The Bachelor. I don't know if that's good or bad. But for the Christian view of heaven, we don't take this one extreme that heaven is this perpetual kind of pleasure palace. Sometimes that's kind of the Christian evangelical teaching. On the other end of the spectrum is kind of this reality that, well, we're not sure what heaven is, so we're just going to work really hard to try and create a perfect world down here. But if you live a while, you know that's not possible. Not every hurt is going to be healed in this life. So, you know, we try and compensate for that. We overshop, we overeat, we overwork, we read books on grief, we try and tell ourselves we're winners and have a good attitude. And all those things are great. But Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the sufferings of this world do not compare with the beauty of the age to come. And so what Revelation 21 teaches us is that heaven's appearance is beauty. We read through all of the different jewels and gems that are there, and the size, which matches the size of the Holy of Holies. And we talked about the appearance of beauty and that God cares about that word. That word adorn is the word cosme, where we get our word for cosmetics. So God cares about that design and shape and color, and which is why we care about those things. We're image bearers of God. But it's not just that heaven's appearance is beauty, but really more so that heaven's lifestyle is joy. We kind of think, man, is it going to be boring there? But the reality of heaven, according to Revelation 21 and 22, is that it takes us back to Genesis. The tree of life is restored there. There's a river like there was in Genesis. And, you know, Adam and Eve had responsibilities. They were they had things to maintain and explore, and they had dominion. And so I don't think God's going to take all those desires away. I think in heaven, we're going to own things and run things. And the only difference is it's not going to be messed up by sin. All those things are going to be perfectly restored to us. That still leaves us with the reality that, Dean, you know, I'm not in heaven. I'm here. So Revelation gives us also an application, not just a description. You know, a lot of people think when you go to heaven, you're going to get this infinite memory wipe, right? You're going to not going to really remember who you were. But that doesn't really make sense, because if you don't remember you, then are you really you? Right? Did you really go to heaven? That doesn't seem to make sense. Luke 24, post-resurrection, Jesus has full knowledge of who he has been. So that doesn't seem to be the case. Some people think, well, will I recognize my loved ones? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul anticipates a reunion of people that you love. So, you know, it seems as though we will know. And that's important because heaven's what gives us hope. It's the land of no more. No more cancer, no more lonely marriages, failed friendships, no more bullying for your kids, no more mass genocide, fear, regrets, guilt, addiction, shame. And the list goes on and on and on. It's just important for us to remember that the life we live now is abnormal. The normal life that God designed in Genesis and the life that he is taking us to is eternal life. And, you know, even though Jesus mentions it 15 times in the Gospels, only one time does Jesus describe eternal life for us. It's John 17, 3, and this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God. So heaven is life with God. And I just say that because we tend to think about heaven like heaven is kind of like God's headquarters, like heaven contains God, but that's not true. God contains heaven. You're like, well, Dean, that just seems like semantics. No, it's important. God is everywhere in heaven all the time. There's no avoiding God there. And the reason that's a big deal is because if you're not the kind of person who likes spending time with God now, you're going to be miserable in heaven. I mean, if you think about it, like, why would you even want to go? there's nowhere in heaven that you can run from God and get a quickie sin in, right? Like a little gossip or judging or sarcasm. No, if you don't love life with God now, I don't know that heaven makes sense. So the reality is, when you think about it, the last thing a sinner would want to do is spend eternity with a pure, holy God. So reality is that nobody wants in. But God sent his one and only son so that our hearts could be changed, so that we could become the kind of people who want to go. So the ironic part of the argument is that God gets a bad rap for being exclusive and not letting people into heaven. But the reality is that God wants us all to go way more than we want to go. I think for us, what we want are the minimum entrance requirements to heaven. And nowhere in the New Testament are those given to us. So the Bible ends with this: he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that heaven will give us focus on loving God and loving people who are around us and helping them go to heaven. And then I'm going to let you pray. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in heaven, for the beauty that's there, but more so, God, the fact that you're there. And we're going to enjoy the beauty, but God, we're coming to see you. So God, we pray, come quickly. Come today. Sometime, God, today. Maybe it's the time to inaugurate your eternal kingdom. God, we welcome it. And we look forward, God, to seeing you face to face. I want you to take time and pray. Ask the Lord maybe to bring someone to your mind that you'd have the opportunity to share with about heaven, and to change your heart to consistently become the kind of person who's ready to go. Well, once again, thanks for joining the LifePoint Drivecast. And, you know, I said this last week at Lewis Center that, you know, for a lot of us, there are people that we love that we would like to, you know, talk to them about heaven, but sometimes we have trouble starting the conversation. So I put a blog post up on the blog, on the website, that's just got a simple, brief explanation of how you can maybe start that conversation. And then if someone wants to take that step of following Christ, how you can help them do that, okay? Well, God bless you guys. Hope you come back tomorrow. Join us on the Drivecast. Have a great week.